Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1, the word of the Lord says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. This is one of the most amazing passages of Scripture in the Word of God. Chapter 3 is a foundational Scripture of the book of Exodus. Matter of fact, it sets the tone for everything that will happen from this point forward. Beginning in the first chapter of Exodus all the way through until chapter 3, it would appear that everything that God had planned for the people of Israel concerning their rescue, their exodus from Egyptian bondage of 400 years, that it would appear up until this point that the plan was unraveling, that the things had gone awry, that what looked promising in the beginning of the life of Moses now had taken a turn for the worse, and that he was now a nobody from nowhere. Certainly you would think him being promoted to the palace and being raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, surely you could see him in a place of power and prominence and promise, and you would think that this man Moses would be the deliverer of God's people. You see him when he rises up against that Egyptian and slew him, and you think, well, he's finally realized who he is and what he's here to do. And look at him. Don't he look like a real leader? I'll tell you, that's the one that'll lead us up out of Egypt. His mom and his dad may have been proud of him, but then when he's exiled to the wilderness and for 40 long years, nobody in Egypt has heard a word from him. And he thinks that surely it's all over for him. And there he's been reduced to doing what the Egyptian counted as an abomination. The Bible said being a shepherd was an abomination unto the Egyptians. And it said now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Not only was he a shepherd, but he didn't even own the sheep. He was a shepherd for somebody else. He was somebody else's shepherd. He was just a hired hand on a sheep farm, keeping a sheep where once he had been in line to the throne of Pharaoh. My, what a condescension. My, what a step down. What an humbling experience that Moses had gone through. And for some 40 years, he had experienced this and this fall, this tearing down, this breaking down. Ah, but my friend, in the wilderness, not only in the desert, not only keeping his father-in-law sheep, but on the backside of the desert, verse number 1 said, not even on the front side of the desert. It's bad enough to be in the desert. Moses was on the backside of the desert. It was as bad as what he thought that it could get, and he had resigned himself to this life. And the Bible said it was there on the backside of the desert, friend, that Moses came to the mountain of God. I tell you, that's where more often than not you'll find the high places with the Lord. It'll not be while the world looks at you and said, now that fellow's got it all figured out. It'll not be while others appear and they see you as appearing to be high. That is when God has broken you down, and when God has made you humble, and when God has broken
fire, friend. That's excitement. That's zeal. That's heat. That's warmth. That's joy. I'm telling you, fire. Everybody wants fire. I mean, friend, hey, you'll never get your automobile out of this parking lot this afternoon if it don't fire up. Amen. I'm telling you, those spark plugs will need to give off some fire in order for your automobile to run. Amen. If you're going to make it through life, you'll need some fire in your belly. Amen. I gave Brother Wayman some hot sauce the other day. And if you ain't got fire in your belly, it'll put it there for you. Amen. I'm telling you, that's exactly right. Matter of fact, the business is called 357 Mad Dog. And it is. I'm telling you. It makes you madder than 357 dogs if you eat a whole spoonful of it. It'll put fire in your belly. I tell you, if you're going to make it through life, you need some fire. You've got to have fire. Everybody wants fire. But Moses had never seen fire like this fire until he got where he was, friend. I'm not talking about strange fire. How the sons of the prophets have that and God killed them. I'm not talking about wild fire. Emotionalism, amen. I'm talking about spirit fire. I'm talking about Holy Ghost fire. I'm talking about the fire of God. And we need fire. Amen.
That's exactly right. And before Moses could ever see the fire, God had to humble him down. God had to get him alone with the Lord. I mean, until he got out of Egypt and got alone with God, he couldn't have fire. And until you get out of this world, until you get separated unto God, until you get rid of sin and Egypt in your life, until you get in the place where God wants you, you'll not have fire. You may, my friend, build a campfire, but you'll not have Holy Ghost fire until you get alone with God. But when he got to the mountain of God, alone with God, that's when he saw fire. And God had to humble him down, get him alone. And then Moses had to hear a voice. Until you've heard a voice, you'll not experience the fire. And until you hear God's voice, until he speaks to your soul. There's people now, friend, wanting fire, and they've never even been converted. There's people wanting fire, and they've never even been saved. I say you'll never be filled with the Holy Ghost until you've been convicted by the Holy Ghost. You'll need to meet the Savior before you'll be filled with the Spirit. Hello, my friend. Hey, the world's got everything in reverse order. And people want power with God, but they don't even know God. You remember the man that saw Peter, saw Paul and Silas doing the great works? I believe it was, and he said, this thing that you've done, said, if you'll give it to me, I'll give you a sum of money for it. But they said, the work of God, the power of God, the fire of God, it's not for sale. I say, until you've experienced conviction power, you'll never experience spirit fire. You'll never experience Holy Ghost fire into your life until you first have the nastiness of your sins burned out by the fire of the Holy Ghost. And then you can experience the joy of the fire of the Holy Ghost in your life. The first work he does in you will be a purifying work. And that, my friend, which he will continue in you, will be a powerful work. But there are some that want power without purity. Somebody say amen to that right there. But you'll never have power without purity. I tell you, I can stand up here this morning and say, praise God. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Somebody raise your hand. Praise God. Somebody take a lap. You could do all of it, and we still not have no fire. Are you listening to me? I mean, fire is more than noise. Fire is more than racket. Fire is more than outward signs. Fire is more than saying hallelujah. I tell you, fire burns within. Fire, my friend, is real. Hey, you might have some of them little candles. And my friend, with the screw-in light bulbs at the top. And they might give off light, and they might give off heat. But they will never set nothing on fire. Amen. I tell you, we need more than just a little screwed-in light bulb. Some sort of fake fire. That's something that looks like fire. Something that appears to be fire. We need fire. Amen. I'm talking about real fire given
That's exactly right. And I'm feeling like we're not going to get to the message here this morning, but I'll finish her up tonight. Amen. I'm trying to preach a little bit about fire tonight. I may just go ahead and finish it up and preach on the stuff that's on fire, but it won't burn. But right now, I'm preaching on fire. And I'm feeling like I need to stay right where I am till I get done with where I am. And then we'll see where we go from there. But right now, I'm trying to preach to you about fire. This is a world that knows not fire. This is a world that knows not the power of God. This is a world that is ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. We're living in a society favored to have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. That is, if it ain't got fire in it, it hasn't got no business with me being in it. I'll say amen myself. That's exactly right, friend. Formalism, emotionalism, wildfireism, charismaticism. That's exactly right. Oh, friend, all of this business is not of the Lord. I tell you, God's not in the show business this morning. He's not in the production business. He's in the Holy Ghost business. He's in the soul-saving business. He's in the life-changing business. He's in the prayer-answering business. God's not in the business of selling snake oil. He's not in the business of fooling people. He's not in the business of slick packaging and advertising and salesmanship. But God is in the business, friend, of operating in the realm of spiritual reality. And I tell you, you can't have fire. And if you'll ever burn for God, you'll have to have fire. And that fire will have to come from the Holy Ghost.
That's exactly right. Moses could not see fire until he got humbled, until he got alone, until he got a voice from another world. I wonder, friend, have you ever been broken down? Have you ever been humbled down? Have you ever said, as Ruth in our Sunday school lesson, who am I that you should show kindness unto me, a stranger? Who is the man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visit him? I mean, why should he think upon me as he does? As long as what you're saying, I deserve better than this. You won't never get no better than that. Amen. That's exactly right. I tell you, don't deserve better than that. Somebody said, better than what? Better than however you're getting, you don't deserve it. Amen. Oh, you don't understand how bad my life's been. I might not, but I know this. Anything short of being in hell with your neck broke is a blessing from God. And there's not a one of you there yet. Amen. I tell you, if you're here lost without God, and you're not even saved, you're blessed. I mean, you're blessed. You're not in hell yet. And you're not in the flames yet. God give you another gospel sermon. God give you another church service. He's going to give you another altar call if the Lord doesn't come back before. And my friend that play on the piano, I tell you, you're blessed whether you know it or not. Hell, my friend, you're getting better than what you deserve. If you're not already in hell with your neck broke, you're getting better than what you deserve already.
I deserve better than this. You certainly don't. Amen. Why does bad things happen to good people? They ain't no such thing as good people. Amen. That's exactly right. Bad things can't happen to good people because there's not any good people. Are you listening to me? There is none good but God. Amen. There are no good people for bad things to happen to. Bad things happen to one good person, and he took all of our bad things in himself. And because he took all of our sin, he who knew no sin became sin, so that we who knew no righteousness could become the righteousness of God in him. All the bad of my life was given to him, that all the good of him might be imparted unto me. Oh yes, it's been imputed. His righteousness has been imputed unto my account. Hey, friend. Oh yes, we don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything. I tell you, you'll never be saved by grace singing you didn't deserve anything. Because if you deserved it, it wouldn't be grace. Are you hearing me? In order to get saved by grace, you've got to realize you don't deserve grace. Because if you deserved it, it'd be justice and not grace. In order
Lord to get saved by grace, you got to realize you don't deserve nothing but hell. You don't deserve nothing but judgment. You don't deserve anything but the fire and the flame and the devil. Oh, my friend, you don't deserve anything but to pay the price for the sins you've committed. God's got to humble you down. He's got to break you down. He's got to take you down a notch. He's got to get you off of your high horse in order for you to see fire. You'll have to get humbled down.
Amen. That's right. Long as you see yourself marching around in the king's apparel, long as you see yourself wearing the garb of the priest, or rather of the princes, long as what you see yourself in soft raiment, long as what you're eating grace, being waited on, served and praised, oh, my friend, is everybody singing your glory, you'll never get humbled down. Are you listening to me this morning? I tell you, Moses couldn't get humble. Oh, my friend, every time God would try to make him humble, somebody would come along and pick him back up and tell him how wonderful that he was. Everybody that spoke to him answered with, "Sir." They bowed their heads. They gave, my friend, homage unto him. They, my friend, respected him and held him highly. I tell you, friend, listen, that's why we need preaching, by the way. Preaching comes to break us down. I'm not here this morning to tell you how wonderful you are. Somebody said you ought to help folks' self-esteem. I'm not worried about your self-esteem. I'm trying to keep you out of hell this morning. And if you're going to get saved by grace, you're going to have to get humbled down. You need to know you're a sinner, a dirty, rotten, low-down scoundrel of a sinner, that if God don't save, you're headed to hell at a breakneck speed. The devil will laugh at your soul while you're burning a flame. You ain't got a hope without God. I'm letting you know that you're nothing. You're nobody. And you're in the same boat that I am. Amen. That is in me, in my flesh. There is no good thing. You need Jesus today. You need Jesus. If you could help yourself, you'd already done it. You need Jesus.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, I believe that Jesus is a good man. He come to teach us good things, but now I can die. And if I'll do right, and if I'll live right, and if I'll serve right, and if I'll be a blessing to others, then I'll make it." Well, if you could do all that, and if you knew all that, why'd Jesus have to come teach you anything? I mean, if you already had it all figured out and was able to do it by yourself, if you're so capable, you don't need Jesus. But until you need Him, you won't have Him. Amen. Until you beat on your bread and are ashamed to look up into heaven and say, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you, till you get there, you'll never be saved. If you're ever to have power of God, God will have to break you down. He'll have to break you, friend. Hey, friend, in order for Jacob to have power of God, he had to wrestle with the Lord his whole life. He didn't just wrestle that one night. He had wrestled his whole life. But that night it came to a head. That was round 12, friend. That was the last round. That was the last one. And that night they wrestled all night long. And before the next morning, God broke his leg. And then he looked at Jacob and said, "I'm going to give you a blessing." And he broke his leg. And then he blessed him and he changed his name. And he said, "I'll call you no more Jacob, a heel snatcher, a supplanter, a trickster, a con man." He said, "I'll call you Israel, for thou hast prevailed and have power with God and with men." And here he was with his leg broke, beat up from fighting a man all night. His family done crossed the river. He's all by himself on the shore. And God said, "You're a winner." The world would have said, "Jacob, you're a loser for sure. How you've lost everything. You're all by yourself. I mean, you're nobody. This is the worst spot of your whole life. On top of that, your leg's broke. And you got to cross the river on a broken leg. And you've been fighting this man all night. And you can't win." And God said, "You've already won." I'll tell you, when God broke his leg, he had to submit to God. He couldn't fight him no more. And when Jacob quit fighting, God
said you've won. I tell you, when you quit fighting God, you've won. When you quit wrestling God, you've won. When God breaks you down, you've won. When you get humble, you've won. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He may exalt you in due time.
My Lord. Makes me want to have a run fit. Amen. That's exactly right. Hallelujah. Old country preacher said, jump a foot and a half high and run a country mile. And I'll say amen to that. Thank God. I tell you, when you get broken down, when you get humbled down, when you get to be nobody, then you're somebody. When you're low, then you're high. I tell you, my friend, when you're broken, that's when you're blessed. Long is what you're able, you're unable. But when you get helpless, that's when you get helped. When you think hope is all gone, help is on the way. I tell you, that's happened, Jesus. But He's got to break you and humble you down first.
And then He had to get along with God. He had to get along with God. Oh, Jacob, he couldn't get really fully broken while his wives was beside him. Moses couldn't really get where he needed to be even while he had the sheep with him. He couldn't even get where he needed to be while Jethro's other servants was with him. He couldn't get where he needed to be while his family was with him. You see, there's a transaction needed to take place in the life of Moses that could only happen between him and God. Are you listening to me? Oh, friend, mama can't do it for you. Daddy can't do it for you. The world can't do it for you. The preacher can't give it to you. Oh, yes, that's right, I'll tell you. These canned prayers, this Hollywood evangelism, have this repeat this business after me. Raise your hand and I'll tell you you're all right. That business is not anywhere in the Bible. Not one conversion in the book of Acts was found on what we commonly call now the sinner's prayer. Are you hearing me? Not one single conversion in the Bible was found on anything of the sort. Hey, it's not scriptural, friend. I tell you what is in the Bible. I've let every man work out his own soul. Salvation before the Lord with fear and with trembling. Somebody said, oh, but they told the man, that Philippian jailer, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that is right. You forgot the first verse before that, though, where it said he came in before the men a trembling, saying, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Why was he trembling? And hey, friend, Paul and Silas didn't have a sword, didn't have a knife. This man had a sword in his hand. He didn't have no reason to be scared of Paul and Silas. He had a weapon in his hand. How do you know he had a weapon? He was fixing to kill himself with it. And Paul said, do thyself no harm. And he came in there and they were unarmed. He had a weapon. And yet he's the one trembling. He wasn't scared of them, friend. He was under conviction from God. Amen. The Holy Ghost was troubling his heart. I tell you, when you get along with God, when you do business with God, when the Holy God of heaven troubles your heart, and my friend, you and God do business, it's the end and then alone that you can see fire. But the fire will burn you until then. It will not burn in you. It will just burn you until you submit to the fire.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this is all supposed to be an introduction, but there's too much of it, so I'm just preaching it to you. In Psalm 119, and I'm ad-libbing a little bit. I done passed the introduction a while back, but now I'm finishing her up what I didn't put in the notes. Thank God. Amen. In Psalm 119, David said, he said, I'm like a bottle in the smoke. You know what that means? He said, I'm like an old bottle somebody's thrown over in the middle of the fire. And there's smoke all around me. There's fire burning all around me. It's a coming in. So you ever seen a bottle? I am a campfire or something or other. I haven't seen that fire go out to the end of that bottle. bottle to the mouth of it and then go up into the side of it. Inside that bottle be a burning. I mean, the flame be coming around the end and burning into the middle. And smoke all around it. The contents of the bottle are burning out. I tell you, David said, that's where I am. I'm like a bottle in the smoke. I tell you, that's where you are when you get convicted. David said, the pangs of hell caught hold of my soul. Hell, like a bottle in the smoke. You ever been lost? I said, have you ever been lost? I mean, felt the flames of hell. They're all around you. It's surreal. You could hear the crackling of the furnace and smell the smoke and hear the screams of anguish. Oh, and you knew if you didn't get right with God, that's surely where you're headed. I'm talking about conviction, friend. You'll have to get there and get along with God if you're ever to get saved. But I'm so glad He put me in the fire so He could pull me out of the fire and put the fire in me. Woo! Oh, yes. I'm not in the fire. I'm not headed for the fire. Oh, thank God, but I've got a fire that's a burning in me. And now the only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. I tell you, you can't have fire in you and yet not be burned.
Hallelujah.
He got along with God. And he heard the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? You'll never get where the fire is because you just decided to climb the mountain.
Right.
But when the Lord says, turn aside hither, and you do, then you get where the fire is.
Right.
Amen.
Well, I've decided I'm going to get right with God. That's just good and fine, but if God ain't decided He's ready to do business with you, then you won't never do business with God.
Amen.
You don't have adequate negotiation skills to make a deal with God.
Right.
Right. That's right. Hey! Being saved, Brother Randy, is more than just you accepting Christ. It's Christ accepting you. Isn't that right? Amen. That's right, friend. And Jesus said, all that the Father shall give me shall come unto me. And he that shall come unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. Isn't that what Jesus said? And listen, you don't go to Christ and come to Jesus just because you decided to. You just will up one morning, got a wild hair, decided, I'll tell you what I think I'll do. I'll get religion. Amen. And I'm going to do better. And I'm going to live right. I'm even going to repeat that prayer I've heard the preacher talk about. And I'm going to church. And I'm going to get baptized. And with all my getting, I'm going to get real good. And do real good. Oh, but listen to me, friend. With all you're getting, you can't just get saved. I tell you, the Lord has to save you. He'll send out an invitation. You don't enter a king's chamber without an invitation. You don't enter a king's chamber without being called for. But I'll tell you, friend, oh yes, it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'll tell you, He'll call, He'll call, He'll call, friend. Oh yes, and when He calls, I just answer, here am I, Lord. Send me. I mean, be obedient to His call. What He said to Moses, come here. Moses said, I'm going to see what this thing is. He said, come here, Moses. And when he got there, hey, how about this, Brother John? When he got there, the Lord didn't just say, come here. He said, come hither. And then He said, draw near. Isn't that right? And take your shoes off. Listen what He'll do to you, friend. He won't just save your soul. But when He does get the fire in your life, Brother Tom, He'll say, now draw here and get just a little closer. Just get a little closer. And just get a little closer. And draw near unto me. Woo! Hallelujah. I tell you, He'll keep calling in your life.
Amen.
Oh, yes, my Lord. Hallelujah. And I feel like preaching the rest of the message without them. Thank God. I'm standing in the holy place. Somebody said that's disrespectful. If you knew what is on the bottom of this, them things, you'd be scared to death to touch them, knowing where they've walked. Amen. That's exactly right. Hallelujah. If you're going to get close to God, what you know what you got to do, you've got to take off the thing that's been walking in this old world. You've got to get the dirt of this old nasty sin curse world off of you. You better toss aside the thing that's been connecting you with this old dirty society, and you gotta draw near unto God while He's a calling on your life. And if you will, you can see fire. You can have fire. You can feel fire. You can know the fire.
If you don't, you never will. You want to have power with God? You got to quit hanging around too far away from the fire.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. God humbled him down. God got him alone. God's voice spoke into his heart. And Moses responded in obedience. And when he did, he saw the fire. Now listen to me. That voice out of the fire wasn't just any voice. I've already closed my Bible. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 2 says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush." But it wasn't just any angel. That word angel means a messenger of God. Look down now in verse number 12. This same person has been talking out of the fire, still talking. And he says, "Certainly I will be with thee." And he says, "And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. I will be with you, and I'm the one that's sending you." Now wait a minute. The angel don't have the power to send him. An angel don't have the authority to send him. An angel might have gone with him, friend, but an angel doesn't have the power to send him. At least not just any old angel don't have that authority. But he said, "I'll be with you, and I'm the one that sent you." And Moses said in verse 13, "I will hold when I come, and the children of Israel said to them, 'The God of your father sent me unto you.' And they shall say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, notice he called the same person an angel. In verse number 2, he refers to himself as I twice. In verse number 12, and in verse 14, he calls himself I. He said that God has spoken to him and said, "I am that I am." Hey, friend, you know who this was? This was the Lord Jesus Himself. He was the messenger of God in the burning bush. I tell you, ain't no use in you trying to act like you got fire till you meet Jesus. Amen. I tell you, if you ever get fire, it'll be because you did meet Jesus. That's exactly right. I tell you, He's the fire. He's the source of power. He's the source of might. Everything that is because of Him, through Him, sustained in Him. Thank God you can have fire, but only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Until he heard the voice of Jesus, he never got to see the fire. Never got to have the fire. You will never have fire in your life until you hear the voice of Jesus. I'm finished preaching, now you come with a song. But listen to me well, friend. If you're lost, especially, hear me well. If the Holy Ghost of God is speaking to your heart, today's the day to get it right with God. Right now is the time to do business with God. Now Jethro, or now Moses kept the flock of his father-in-law Jethro. He said, "I'll turn aside now and see this thing." God said, "Draw hither." In other words, do it right now. And take your shoes off.
You're standing on holy ground. Today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow may well be too late. It's by the Lord's mercies that the fire of God hadn't already consumed you. It's by the mercies of the Lord you're not in hell already. It's by the grace of God that right now you're not burning in the flames. I tell you, if the good Holy Ghost of God's taking time to deal with your heart, you'd be very foolish to turn Him away and walk out them doors lost. If you don't know the Lord, you need to do business with God while He's calling. Right now. Right now. If God's stirring in your heart something this morning, you really do want fire. You really do want power with God. You want to be a fire. You want to be aglow with the power of the Lord. But somehow it seems like your life is cold. Somehow it seems like you just can't feel the flame. If you draw hither this morning, set off your shoes, take aside all the things that connect you to this dirty old world, and draw near to God on holy ground here in this altar, God can fan the flame of revival in your life, and you can have fire with the Lord. If you need to pray, stand to your feet. If you need to pray, would you come? Do business with God. Sing when you're ready, my brother. If you need to pray, would you come? Some of you might all just take your shoes off and come lay them on the altar. Maybe just lay them up there. All right. Where I've been walking, this dirty old world I've been living in. The path of my feet, I'm just going to give it to you, Lord. There it is, it's yours. I just want to walk in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. If you need to pray, would you come? Amen, amen. Somebody said, I wouldn't take my shoes off like that until the Lord humbles you down. You won't get nowhere with God either. Amen. I don't just take his shoes off. Somebody said, I got to unlace them. I don't care if you got on combat boots. If you ought to take your shoes off, you ought to come put them on the altar. Just tell the Lord my walk. Every step I take, I want it to be ordered by you. All of me, everything I have, and all that I am belongs to you. Not enough to have power in Egypt. I need power with heaven. It's not enough to have power with the world and influence with men. I want to have power with God. Amen. Moses used to snap his fingers and people did what he said. Now he can just speak the words and God would hear him when he talked. I tell you, he didn't have power in Egypt, but he had power with God. And God gave him power and to my friend influence in Egypt again. That's right. Amen. How about it, friend? Some are praying, others need to pray. Do you have fire in your life?
name is right. Hey, He'll brand you, mark you, identify you. That's right. When He burns in you, He'll burn something in you that marks you, identifies you. Somebody said, that don't sound pleasant. I'll tell you, it's mighty precious. Amen. The Lord knoweth this seal. Hey, them that are saved, them that are His, hath this seal. And the Lord knoweth them that are His. Hallelujah, friend. I tell you, He sealed us to the day of redemption. He's marked us as one of His. Oh, He owns us. I belong to Him. Yeah. I am not my own. Yeah. I've been bought with a price. Yeah. He paid for me. Hallelujah. Yeah. And I'm His for eternity.
I bless the Lord. I bless the Lord. Have you obeyed God this morning? I mean, been absolutely honest before the Lord. Have you told Him all the truth? Well, I appreciate the Lord. If God will help us, we're going to come back to Exodus 3 tonight. Preach what I got started on. This bush was on fire, but it wouldn't be consumed. I preached on the fire this morning. If the Lord will help me, I'm going to preach on the consumption tonight. I bless His name. There's some things that's on fire, but they'll burn, but they won't burn up and they won't burn out. Amen. They won't burn down, but they'll just burn on. Hallelujah. Then if God help me here in a few weeks, or as soon as what the Lord will give us liberty, I want to follow up a little further with this chapter. And we're going to preach a little more on them shoes. And I'm going to preach on what it means to reverence the mountain of the Lord. Or you could say, I'm going to preach a little bit on the dangers of a casual church. Now, y'all liking that fire business, but that one looks like it's worrying you. It's all in the same chapter. All in the same chapter. I want to be obedient to God. It's all in the same chapter. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness.
Right.
That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto the good works. It's all light. All that Bible is.
Yes.
And it'll help you. So if the Lord will help us tonight in the consumption, I appreciate God's Word. Take some time, fellowship one with another. You can be dismissed, and I appreciate you coming today.